Town of Garner Town Council Meeting of June 4th, 2018.
I'm going to call a meeting to order and ask the clerk call the roll. Clerk call the roll, please.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tim Marshburn?
Present.
Councilmember Behringer?
Here.
Councilmember Johns?
Present.
Councilmember Kennedy? And Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Town manager would like to make a statement.
Yes, I was just going to make a statement that the town of Garner is going Facebook Live tonight. It's the first time, so we'll be streaming on Facebook as I speak, the meeting live. I don't know who wants to look at it live, but, you know, I'm sure there are some people out there that probably wouldn't mind looking at it. So just letting y'all know that the video is no different than, you know, when we put it out there the next day, but it's just something about being live, I guess. So.
Very good. I'm going to call on Mayor Pro Tem Ken Marshburn to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Follow the invocation. Please rise.
Please rise and join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated.
Mr. Mayor, for our invocation this evening, I'm pleased to ask to come up to the podium Reverend Elmo Vance. Mr. Elmo Vance is not a stranger to this council and to many people in Garner. Not sure I could give him an appropriate introduction other than to say that I've known him for a number of years. He's a man who has a servant's heart. He served on many committees and is actively serving on committees now, and I served with him on a committee that we've been on for some time. But beyond all of his heart for service, he's a man of strong conviction. I know he's active in his church and is leading the church now. So he graciously agreed to come and lead us in our invocation this evening. Thank you, Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Councilor Marshburn, to the council and to the citizens gathered. Let us pray. Spirit of a living God, we come to you again as humbly as we know how to give you all the praise and the honor. God, we ask that you allow us to work together in harmony and love to understand the needs of the people of this municipality, allow them to understand that we are working on their behalf. God, we ask that you intervene into the minds and hearts of each one who's gathered here and allow us to consciously work together with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that it's not about us, but it's all about you, God. It's all about what you have done for us and how you provided for us in spite of ourselves. God, how gracious you've been to us. God, we thank you for everything that you've done for us and all that you continue to do for us. And it's in your most precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and we all say.
Amen. Mr. Vance, before you leave the podium, if you want to make any comments about the church you're currently involved in, we usually give our speaker an opportunity to make any general comments or observations about that.
Okay. I was just elected pastor of First Missionary Baptist Church in Clayton, and I've been there. I've been there officially as pastor for roughly a month now. And it's a joyful journey. That's what I can say.
Thank you, sir, for taking the time to come and lead us this evening.
Okay, next is petitions and comments. That is time on the agenda for anyone to address the council on an item not on the agenda tonight. If anyone wishes to Mr. Council, come to the podium, state your name and address. Hearing none, we'll move to the adoption of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, there's one change in the consent agenda. After the agenda was prepared, we found a discrepancy in the figures in the resolution, and I have prepared a substitute resolution to place on the agenda, and it's been placed on the table in front of each of you. And that would be the one that I would propose to be considered instead of the original.
Under on the consent agenda, that you proposed, correct?
It would be the same number, but it's different form. It's a few dollars less.
I move we approve the consent agenda per the recommended change of Attorney Anderson.
Sir.
Second.
All in favor, vote by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Presentation, do we have any? Consent. Major question, come on.
Mayor, I move we approve the consent agenda as provided to us.
Second.
Motion made and seconded, all in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Next public hearing.
Mr. Mayor, we'd be calling at this time conditional use zoning CUD Z1801 and conditional use permit CUP SP 1802, Lofts of Davisboro. And typically in these conditional use zoning proceedings, as town attorney, I make some opening comments to sort of lay out some of the ground rules required by North Carolina law. First, let me inquire of the audience. How many people in the audience are interested in this particular case? The reason I inquire is that there's two versions of this. I can give the long version or I can give the short version. And if there's no one else in the public who's interested in this particular case, I can give the short version. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding in which there are certain formalities that have to be followed, including restrictions on type of testimony and that sort of thing, as you all have heard me say many, many times. But I think we can probably work through this one without a whole lot of explanation, but I'm first required to note that the state law is particularly concerned that parties in these any kind of cases have a fair and impartial hearing, and to that end, the council members are typically inquired as to whether they have any prior conceived notions or biases that would prevent them from giving a fair and impartial hearing, and then also in that regard, council members are required to disclose any communications they've had from any applicant or any other persons interested in this application prior to tonight and outside of this hearing room. So I'll inquire of the council if there are any ex parte communications to disclose and whether there's any bias or preconceived notions that would impair your ability to give a fair and impartial hearing to all parties.
They want to have anything to declare.
And if there are none, then we're ready to call the witnesses who will testify in the conditional use permit part of this case. And if those of you who will testify would come forward, the clerk will administer the oath. All right, the staff will present the case for the zoning. Yeah, the hearing is open in the CD case, Mitch. And I'm hearing it open.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm here to present the conditional use rezoning part of this project, and Jeff will present the site plan part. The applicant is Ball Rentals, LLC, and the owner of the site is Douglas Ball. The site is located off of Aversboro Road. The size of the parcel is 1.86 acres. This project went to Planning Commission at their May 14th meeting, and we're bringing it to you today. The site is located on Aversboro Road, just south of Aversboro Square, and north of Latter-day Saints Church, across from the Georgetown Manor, and then the landing at Heather Park is to the east of the site. Here is a street view that shows the access point for the site. The adjacent zoning for the site is office and institutional to the west, multifamily as well to the west, multifamily to the south, community retail to the north, and multifamily to the east. Some of the land uses include the Averysboro Square Shopping Center, a religious institution to the south, some planned multifamily residential, and then some general offices. The zoning history in the area includes zoning changes from multifamily to office institutional, office institutional to commercial business, and most recently on Pool Drive, there was a rezoning from office institutional to multifamily. The existing zoning classification for the parcel is office and institutional, which includes intense professional and service occupations more so than the neighborhood office district. And the requested zoning classification is multifamily 2 with some conditions. The proposed use is apartments. And the proposed conditions under the MF2 C200 district would be allowing the highlighted use, so it includes the 2 family dwelling units, duplexes, townhomes, condominiums, triplexes, apartments, child daycare up to 3, and then continuing care retirement facility. Averysboro Road is classified as a major thoroughfare on the 2010 Garner Transportation Plan, but, and it is maintained by NCDOT. In the vicinity of the site, Averysboro Road is a 4-lane undivided facility with an 80-foot right-of-way, and the NCDOT average daily traffic counts are shown below for the last 10 years at a 2-year increment, roughly a little bit less than 10,000 cars per day. In regards to the 2006 comprehensive growth plan, majority of the site falls within a half-mile neighborhood. Distinction, the half-mile neighborhood recommends a residential density of 3 to 9 units per acre. It includes zoning districts, neighborhood office, multifamily 1, R9, R12, PUD, PRD, and TND. A smaller northern portion of the site, approximately 20%, falls within a boundary of 1/8 mile neighborhood core, and the 1/8 mile neighborhood core recommends a density of 2 to 9 units per acre and includes the MF2 as well as MF1 zoning distinctions. Looking at the 2018 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan, on the current draft of future land use map, the site is designated as multifamily residential, and the tracts in the area are designated as either office center, neighborhood commerce center, or high density residential. The multifamily residential distinction that's given to the site encompasses multi-unit, multi-structure apartment buildings or condominiums up to 4 stories in height, and these developments are typically independent of surrounding land uses and not part of larger mixed-use developments. So the request for a conditional use multifamily 2 zoning district may be considered consistent with the 2006 Comprehensive Growth Plan and the draft 2018 Garner Forward Plan.
Questions? No vote, now, right?
Right, no vote right now.
We'll close the public hearing.
The staff is also present on the condition of the site. Additional site plan.
All right. We have CP.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. For the record, Jeff Triesenberg, Planning Director for the Town of Garner, 907th Avenue. In regards to the specific site plan, we have a plan for multifamily, which by definition in the UDO includes triplexes and higher and apartments. There are 2 buildings proposed for the site. The first building is a 3-story building. It has a 9,500-square-foot footprint consisting of about 28,500 square feet total. The second building is a 2-story building 6,322 square feet for the footprint and 12,644 square feet total. In terms of landscaping and the buffer requirements, the tree cover requirements have been met with a combination of existing and replacement trees. However, the plan does show it at full replacement value. There's, in particular, some question about the Raleigh water easement. Some of those trees may stay for now, at least that is the hope. So therefore, we do have the possibility that some of it could stay existing without having to go completely to full replacement. The buffers have been identified. The street buffer is largely not applicable because the lot is structured as a flag lot. So therefore, only street yard plantings are required between the buildings and the street. Perimeter buffers are shown at both 15 and 25 feet per the UDO, depending on the adjacent uses. Again, new replacement plantings are shown on the plan, but exact counts will be determined in the field prior to certificate of occupancy. On the eastern perimeter buffer, as I hinted at before, it is located within the City of Raleigh water utility easement, which these days is rare because typically the water is required to be in the street right-of-way. Therefore, because of that easement being present, we did offer to reduce the width of the buffer from 15 to 10 and a half feet. The City of Raleigh did permit for a low-level fence, solid fence, to be constructed within the easement. Because in addition to the buffer requirements with parking adjacent, which is the one use that they will allow within their easement, we needed to be able to provide for screening of the parking. Again, that couldn't be done with shrubs, but they did allow for a fence. So the proposal will show a 4-foot solid fence between the parking and the adjacent townhomes. Plantings have been reallocated to the west of the parking area between the apartment buildings and the parking, and the quantities have been provided to the extent practical. We are dealing with a slightly smaller area versus what we had would have been dealing with if the buffer was able to be put at the edge of the property like we normally would. Just as a side note, the adjacent townhomes did also have a buffer planting requirement. The easement extends onto their property as well. However, when that was approved, we were able to get their buffer plantings in between their backyards and the easement. So it won't be that there's no vegetation at all between the uses. There will be some on the adjacent townhome site, plus the fence, and then the additional yard plantings on the apartment site. In terms of parking, the applicant has asked for a 10.4% reduction from the minimum requirements. This comes up often in our apartment proposals. This is more in line with the last one, more in line than the last one we saw over on Benson Road. And it does still fall within the recommendations of existing Institute of Transportation Engineer recommendations. So our minimum ratios are shown there. We came up with a requirement for 67 spaces with 3 accessible. They are proposing 60 with 4 accessible. In terms of fire protection, the inspections department, together with the fire department, has reviewed and approved the plan. The site is mostly flat. The high point in this vicinity is on the northeastern corner of the site, but there's not a whole lot of fall between this site and those adjacent to. The 3-story building will be here in the southern portion of the site, the 2-story building up here. Just for reference, we do have a variety of both 1- and 2-story buildings surrounding the site. With different types of roofs that give the illusion that maybe some of the buildings are higher than that. I did go back also and check the elevations of the neighboring townhomes. Those vary from 2- to 3-story units. Some of them do have a 3rd story finished in the peak of the building. Again, we have the church to the south with the steeple and the pitched roof. This office building here in front is also 2 stories. So although this will be a taller structure, it's not completely out of character from a graduating perspective with the surrounding sites. There are no FEMA floodplains, and it does drain generally to the west towards Eversboro Road. The site is subject to both water quantity and quality regulations. A bioretention pond has been proposed to address both quantity and quality measures. Prior to building permits, though, a nitrogen offset payment is also required due to the loading rates of the site. 8-inch water main exists along the west side of the Eversboro Road, and the 8-inch sewer main runs along the east. Connections to both are required and proposed. In terms of any added infrastructure for roads and sidewalks, again, largely not applicable because it is a flag lot. The driveway has been approved by NCDOT, and the on-site sidewalk system is connected to the public sidewalks on Eversboro Road, and the developer has also proposed an internal connection between the apartments and Eversboro Square. Here is the site plan. Again, the entrance coming down the flagpole of the lot and then widening into the parking bays. Again, here is your three-story building on the southern end, two-story building here in the middle. Bioretention is up here on the north. Here you see that sidewalk connection proposed into the neighboring Eversboro Square. Here is the easement along the east side. You see here it runs from roughly the middle of the drive aisle all the way over into the adjacent parcel. Again, currently this easement is vegetated and full of both trees, overstory and understory. We are not aware of any plans for the city to actually come through and level everything. So at this point, we'll just be clearing what's necessary to install the parking, leave what remains, and then include the fence for screening purposes. For lighting, all new vehicular surface area meets requirements. And the proposed lighting by Duke Energy conforms to the UDO standards. In terms of conformity with the transportation plan, minimal frontage on Eversboro Road, which is at its recommended configuration, so therefore there's no recommendations for additional bike and ped facilities at this time, and the plan may be considered then to be in conformance with the 2010 Garner Transportation Plan. When looking at the Parks and Rec Open Space and Greenways Plan, again, no recommendations for this particular site, so it may also be found to be in conformity. Swift Creek Land Management Plan, the site is classified as existing non-compliant and is therefore only subject to the town's stormwater and UDO regulations. So therefore, as noted before, it is in conformance with the Swift Creek Land Management Plan because it is meeting our UDO requirements. And speaking of the UDO, after sufficient review and plan revisions, staff does find that this project is now proposed conforms to the regulations of the UDO. The Planning Commission confirms staff's findings that this site plan was in conformity with adopted town plans and policies, and further accepted the staff statements regarding zoning consistency with the comprehensive plan as their own and recommended approval to you all here at the Town Council. So for your council action tonight, we would just refer you to the worksheets beginning on page 33 for the zoning and page 35 for the conditional use permit site plan approval.
Anyone have a question?
Yeah, one. Do I understand the only access to this property will be off of Eversboro Road coming in between, I believe it's La Petite on one side and an office building, what is it? Has a sign there called Elite. So there won't be access from either from the backside or any other place, is that right?
Correct. They'll just be, they propose the pedestrian access here from Eversboro Square into the apartments, but that's the only other alternative access.
Okay. That's what I'd understood.
Any further questions? Comments? Thank you, Jeff.
We now hear from the applicant and any member of the public that would like to be heard.
evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Keith Roberts, 202 Bonica Creek Drive in Garner, civil engineer for the site. Here for any questions you may have concerning the engineering or site layout questions, and also the applicant, Mr. Douglas Ball, is also present if you have any site-specific or product questions.
Anybody have questions? Thank you, Keith. Anyone else?
Member of the public. All right, Mr. Mayor, close the hearing.
All right, I'll close the public hearing. Call for action on
it.
Ready
for motion.
Go ahead.
Yeah, ready for motion. Mr. Mayor, I move that we find that this is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and I move that the town council accept staff statement regarding zoning consistent with the comprehensive growth plan detailed in section 5 of this report as our own. And I move, therefore, that we further that the town council accept the recommendation of the planning commission and adopt ordinance number, and I fail to note it. Can somebody supply that? Approving rezoning request CUD Z1801. I guess I'm supposed to put the number in there. Ms. Clerk, do you have that?
2813912.
Okay, 2813912.
With that, I move approval.
You got a motion. Is there a second, sir?
Sir.
All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed.
Now, do we have to do the CUP bill? We need a motion on approving CUP SP 1802. Site plan.
Well, I move we approve. Move the council accept the staff statements regarding plan consistency in section 7 of this report as our own and find the application meets the 10 permit criteria in section 3.14.D and therefore approve CUP-SP-18-02. Loss at Avisboro with the 3 standard conditions.
Second. Motion made. Second. Further discussion. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you. Next is the general use rezoning Z1802 Old Stage Road. Het Patel again. Once again. This is a public hearing. Open the public hearing.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm here to present the general, my name is Het Patel. I'm here to present the general use rezoning for 5200 Old Stage Road. The applicant and the owner for the parcel is Larry DeMac. The location for the site is 5200 Old Stage Road. It is a 1-acre parcel. We're here today for the town council public hearing, and then this project will go to the planning commission and will come back to you at a later date. The site is located on Old Stage Road between Ranch Farm Road and Sunny Lane, just to the east of US 401. Adjacent zoning to the parcel is all zone R20, and most of the parcels are all single-family residential. The rezonings in the area include a lot of the rezoning that the town completed when we brought this area into the ETJ, as well as most recently Banisher's property along US 401 being rezoned from neighborhood office to service business with conditional use. Historically, the zoning for the area around Ranch Farm has been R40 since 1978. The existing zoning classification for the parcel is residential R20, which allows single-family lots of at least 20,000 square feet. The requested rezoning is residential R40, which would allow at least 40,000 square feet. And the reason for this is to allow for a development of a construction of a garage on the property to house personal cars, because under R20 you wouldn't be allowed to do that because it'd be larger than your square footage of the house. The site has 155 feet of frontage on Old Stage Road. Old Stage Road is a 22-foot wide town-maintained facility with 60-foot right-of-way. It lacks curb and gutter. Old Stage Road is classified as a major thoroughfare in 2010 Garner Transportation Plan. If the site is redeveloped in the future, road improvements would apply, which includes curb, gutter, and sidewalks. The NCDOT average daily traffic history on Old Stage Road for the last, since 2009, for 3-year data that we can gather from NCDOT is around 12,000 or to 11,000. We do not anticipate any additional traffic impacts as a result of this rezoning. The 2006 Comprehensive Growth Plan, the area was brought into the ETJ in 2017, so unfortunately the 2006 Garner Comprehensive Plan doesn't necessarily properly account for the area. However, in 2006, on the 2006 Growth Plan, the site falls within a half-mile neighborhood boundary, which is primarily residential 3-9 units. Since this is a general use rezoning, all allowable single-family R40 uses must be considered when evaluating the rezoning request. The 2008 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan better accounts for the site. On the current draft plan, the site and the tracks along Old Stage Road in this area are all designated as low-density residential on the west side and as medium-density residential on the east side. So the low-density residential land use category would mostly allow traditional county-approved subdivisions, anything that can be sustained with individual well and septic with less than 2.5 units per acre. Additionally, the future land use map identified potential redevelopment and activity centers along the U.S. 401 corridor. As such, this site falls on the edge of a future area of commercial redevelopment designation should any of the properties currently fronting on Old Stage ever be reconfigured to have access off U.S. 401, which might not be the case for this one. Staff will provide a recommendation at the June 11, 2018 Planning Commission meeting. After conducting the public hearing, staff recommends referring the zoning application to Planning Commission for their review at the June 11 meeting.
Any questions? Okay, no action. We'll refer to the Planning Commission. Mike Franks, Budget and Special Project Manager, recommended budget.
Good evening, Mayor, members of Council. This is the second public hearing for the FY18, FY19 budget. I'm going to give a brief overview of the budget, the same as the last public hearing. So I'll go through that fairly quickly. And then I'm also going to touch on some recommended changes based on comments and feedback we've received as part of the budget workshop and these separate conversations. And then also talk about some potential process changes moving forward. So with that, the property tax rate remains unchanged at 53.25 cents per $100. The recommended budget includes growth of almost $1.7 million, 5.1% over last year. The budget includes 6 new positions, and it includes reductions of almost $210,000 and unfunded decision packages of nearly $1.1 million. The revenue summary, just a couple of things to note. Property tax is one of the larger increases, over $800,000. Again, there was no increase in the property tax rate, so that's all based on new development and growth in the residential and commercial sectors. An additional large increase in other taxes and license is primarily related to sales tax increases, and total interest earnings are based on market conditions and some things staff are doing to increase returns. We did fund several positions, 6 that I mentioned earlier. So we funded 2 positions within Public Works, 2 positions within Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources to open the rec center, a school resource officer for the new high school, and a training officer for the police department as well. These items were funded for operating requirements. So $100,000 for the UDO rewrite, $25,000 for rebuilding together of the triangle, nearly $25,000 for technology requirements in the finance department, a little more than $23,000 in grant match requirements for the police department, a little over $14,000 for the City of Raleigh Utility Bill Assistance Program, and $8,000 for part-time pay adjustments. All right, so now to the proposed changes. The first being increasing the vehicle tax from $15 to $30. That would result in additional revenue of $270,000 in FY18-19 and approximately $370 in future years. The reason for the slight difference is you won't be able to start to collect the property tax, the revenue associated with the tax increase for approximately 3 months next fiscal year. So there'll be a little bit of gap between when we approve it and when we can actually start to collect. So it's going to be a little bit less this year or next year than it will be moving forward. This revenue will allow us to increase funding for resurfacing activities and will also allow us to fund a condition study for the roads. An additional recommendation are various adjustments that would allow us to reduce the use of fund balance by $100,000. The first two adjustments are revenue related. So we reached back out to Wake County and asked if there had been any additional growth in terms of their assessments, and they did think that there had been a little bit of additional growth. So we were able to increase property tax revenue. Again, that's just based on additional growth, not a rate, a change in the rate. We felt like there was a little additional flexibility in building permit fees, so we increased that rate as well, or increased that estimate. Based on the conversation at the budget workshop, we eliminated funding from Metro Mayor's Accounts Coalition. We also reduced funding for debt service and fire. In their original budget submission, they had a loan that had basically an estimate for what the cost of a new loan was going to be, so we had that actual information, and the actual cost of the debt is going to be less than what they originally forecasted. And we would also reduce funding for the recreation superintendent. The current estimate for the rec center is to open in late summer, early fall, so we felt like there was a possibility to delay that position. We had it funded for 12 months, and now it would be funded for 11 months. We think the parks could still get that person in and allow them to make necessary decisions in time for the rec center to open. And finally, we did include the funding in legal services for some additional training requirements. So are there any questions on the proposed changes that staff is recommending as part of the budget?
Can you remind me of the essential dollar amount for the reduction in the debt service of the fire?
It's a little over $1,000.
Okay. I thought it was fairly small then.
Yeah, so very small. Any additional questions on the proposed changes?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. The next piece is a process-related, thought on my part, something that we think that we could potentially do moving forward beginning next year, and that'd be called a third quarter process. So what this would allow us to do is every year in the January-February timeframe, staff would have an opportunity to review all expenditures and all revenues coming into the town and basically get an update in terms of where we were going to be, if we're going to be in the red or the black, and approximately how much we're going to be positive or negative. At that point, staff could provide an update to council on the town's financial position and also provide recommendations if we were in a positive financial position for that year on opportunities to use that additional funding to fund requirements. So what I really see this being positive for, similar to this year where we had some one-time requirements requested in the budget that we weren't able to fund, but the agencies had funding within their operating baseline that would allow them to cover those costs. So those types of situations, and for one-time cost, thinking items in perform. So one-time CIP requirements, if we think that there's going to be some additional funding remaining in the budget, so we're going to have, basically be in the black and have a positive year, that we could reallocate that money to cover those one-time requirements, since it has been a little bit of a challenge for us to cover those as part of the annual budget process. And in addition, what this would allow us to do is at least eliminate some of the financial adjustments that we make throughout the year. Obviously, there would still be some required throughout the year, but we think we could consolidate the number of adjustments and have it be in a single package. And this would eliminate some administrative burden, in particular on finance department, and allow us to have a single document that summarizes the large majority of the financial adjustments that the town made throughout the year, because they would all be occurring as part of a single process. Do you have any questions about that or statements?
If I understand correctly, well, you're essentially recommending that we sort of formalize this process. In the past, maybe it's been not done, or at least it was very informal at best. I mean, I like the idea. So I don't know if we had to formally vote on it or not, but you're recommending that we start it this year and continue it, obviously, into the future.
Yeah, I don't think we need to vote on it. It's just, I know at least one council member has expressed interest in us putting together and putting forth some process whereby we evaluate our expenditures and any excess revenues as we get closer to the end of the year, and possibly be able to carry forward more of those revenues to fund balance. And with this, we'll be able to kind of evaluate what each department's needs are at the third quarter. And then some of those needs we might be able to take care of all at once. And then we'll have a better idea of maybe what's going to be going forward to go back into fund balance.
Yeah, that was well said. And it would be a formalization of the process that we went through this year and have, I think, in past.
And so I would say we wouldn't need a formal vote. I mean, it's just something we're proposing to do that will hopefully alleviate some concerns, some idea that Mr. Franks brought forward from his previous experience in another local government. And so we might have to tweak some things here and there as we see how it's going to work and fit here. But I would say we don't really need to formalize it this first year until we kind of see how it works. But it'll be bringing you some information that you didn't previously get, and you'll be able to make some decisions before we get too close to the end of the fiscal year.
I think it's a good idea. I like it.
All right, and the final slide just summarizes the remaining piece of the budget schedule. So obviously this is the fourth and just the final recommended budget public hearing. On the 19th, council will adopt the budget. And then on August 15th, staff will publish the budget book and budget brief. So with that, unless there are any questions.
Thanks, sir.
Just a comment from the public, because something that Michael mentioned, the increase in the vehicle tax of $15 to $30. We discussed at our budget work session and also last week's work session, last Tuesday, the budget work session was the week before, the need for increased funding for street resurfacing and road repair in Garner. We've fallen behind, and due to dramatic increases in cost, we're going to have to, we need additional revenue to stake all that. And as we know, we had $475,000 budgeted. The engineers, estimate for this year's road resurfacing was $538,000, and bid came in at $694,000. We were way off. So we know that we have to increase that funding. The goal is to get here, not in 18-19, but in 19-20s, we're going to need at least $1 million. We're going to need to resurface 4 to 5% of our streets every year. We got 99 miles of streets in town. If you do 4 to 5 miles a year, that's a 20 to 25 year life. Most of the streets in this year's project are 25 to 35 years. However, there was one of a subdivision that's only 20 years old. So not only is Garner having to evaluate resurfacing and repairing local streets, other towns are doing it. And it's a cost that will, when this vehicle tax goes to increase, it'll be for local streets. This is not for state streets that we've done work on. This will be for local repairs and resurfacing on Garner streets, maintained by the town of Garner. I believe now we maintain 99 miles of road. And as we grow, that'll increase. So we have to, one thing, important thing that staff have presented to us was the need for a new funding condition, for funding a pavement condition study, which will take place when this budget's approved late summer, early fall, and we'll have that information. And then also the council and the staff will have before the council in January the resurfacing projects, and we can put that out to bid. This year we approved it in May. We need to be approving that in January or February so we can get those bids out and those roads resurfaced and repaired as soon as possible. So This has not been mentioned before until we discussed it and finalized it at our work session last week about the increase in the vehicle tax. But those funds will be dedicated solely to town-maintained streets. I just want to make sure the public knew that, because this is the first wind of it. Thanks for the presentation, Michael.
Thank you.
Under this decision package for public work, were there two employees?
It is, yes, two positions, two new positions, two new employees.
Okay, John Hodges. Fee schedule.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, in your packet for your review is a proposed fee schedule for the 18-19 year. We've included a version that is marked up or redlined so that you could see the changes that were proposed. Last year, in preparation for the current year's budget, staff went through a fairly substantial review of the fee schedule and made some modifications that have been some of them long overdue. This year, although there looks like a lot of markup, there's really not a lot of substantial changes to the fee schedule. There are a few things that have been added just to keep up with current ways we operate business. A couple of minor changes have been made to increase some fees where they needed to be increased. A majority of the markups that you see in your packet, especially on the first page, there's a large yellow section that takes out a large section of text. The text takes up a lot more than the substance of the actual items. This goes back to some guidance given when the business license fee was repealed, and we have a registration fee, and there was some guidance given as to some types of businesses that did not have to pay that. We're removing that because it's outdated in the fee schedule, and we're going to work on having just an internal policies and practices of how we can advise staff to best make use or best charge those fees when the time comes. So that's one large change that you see. And also, beginning on page 4 of the fee schedule, you see a large section of public utility fees that have been removed. With the changes that happen to the way that municipalities can or cannot charge impact fees that began last October, and now that has been finalized beginning July 1, we thought it best to remove references to Raleigh fees so that there was no misinterpretation that these fees were being charged by the town of Garner. And in the new version of the fee schedule, there will simply be links to the two places at the City of Raleigh's website where the current charges can be found. Now, just as a note for you and for the public, our staff will still help prepare the schedule of fees to be charged for development. When folks come in to do a development project, we will still prepare that schedule and give them the amount that they'll be charged. One change that will be effective soon after July 1 is that rather than us accepting Raleigh's fees, putting them into an account, and then sending those monies later, which takes time and effort on behalf of our finance staff, we're going to be moving to an online system with Raleigh whereby you will pay and charge directly into a City of Raleigh system. This will require the folks that are paying fees to pay one form of payment to Garner and one form of payment for the Raleigh system. But we think that that once they're used to that, that this will be make things better for everyone. There are a few other minor changes to the fee schedule, as I mentioned, and I'll be happy to answer questions. Mr. Roylance can also help answer questions depending on which department they're related to, if you have any.
Under Parks and Recreation, do I understand when you've highlighted both the activity and then you go across, if a fee is highlighted, does that mean an increase in that? For instance, I'm looking on page 5, right under the area you just talked about, adult open basketball league, $450 per team plus $20 per non-resident. Is that a change, an increase, or does that remain the same, John?
I'll actually refer Mr. Roylance for that one.
Yeah, that does represent a change. That was based on sort of a market analysis, if you will. They go out from time to time and look at what we're charging relative to what other jurisdictions are charging, and that's how they came up with that amount.
Okay. Wouldn't happen to know how much of an increase that is, would you, over what we've been charging?
Which one?
Well.
Is it the three-on-three?
Yeah.
The three-on-three league?
Is that the one that you're, the adult basketball three-on-three league?
Yes, those two, actually. But if you don't have the figures, you can get back to me later.
Yeah, the well, the three-on-three league is actually a new league this year, and so the change is just that there was no fee for it in the past. And which is the other one that you're looking
at? Well, you talked about the one right above that, the adult open basketball league.
Yeah, that one is, I don't remember whether that one is going up or down. That was based on the market market study, so I'll have to double check on that one. Okay.
That's fine. Time to time, I hear my out-of-town friends complain about the increasing non-residential fee, but I try to explain to them they're getting the benefit of our resources.
I understand which one you're referring to now. Sorry, I'm juggling back and forth between a couple of different documents, trying to make sure I was finding the right one. The non-resident fee is actually lower. We have lowered it as a result. So that change is that the fee has gone down from what it was in the past.
All right. Friends will be glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's right. So we do still want to make sure that there's some differential that town residents are receiving the benefit of the taxes that they pay, but we've brought the non-resident fee more in line with what our neighboring jurisdictions do while still providing some differential benefit to town residents.
Sure. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Okay, Mayor, just as a reminder, the final fee schedule will be adopted as a part of the budget that you will vote on at the June 19th meeting.
Very good. Any committee reports?
The HR committee is scheduled to meet this week, Mr. Mayor, to do some interviews for a couple of openings on our advisory committees, and we hope to bring back a recommendation. I guess, Ms. Town Clerk, we're ready to do that by the end of the month, probably. I think we can have it done by then. That's our intent.
I get 200 new business, what the channel used to be calling it, 310, Luke Road, Patel again.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm here to present the general use rezoning for 310 Loop Road. The applicant is Tracy Evans, the owner for Perfect Touch Hairstyling. The owners for the parcel itself are Timothy Evans and Tracy Lynn Evans. The parcel is located on 310 Loop Road. It's a 0.67 acre parcel. We had public hearing for this general use rezoning back in May. It has been since then gone to Planning Commission on their May 14th meeting, and we're back here today for Town Council action. So the site is located on Loop Road between US 70 and Jurgen Road. It's just south of the PNC Bank, Taco Bell, and Kroger shopping area. The adjacent zoning includes R20 to the south and the east, O&I to the north, and community retail to the west. All of the adjacent land uses are actually single-family residential. The zoning history for the area includes rezoning from commercial business to service business, from service business to commercial retail, and most recently, the Jurgen property for the Walgreens being rezoned from commercial retail C69 to commercial retail C170. The existing zoning classification for the site is residential R20, and the proposed zoning is neighborhood office to allow a home-based barber/beauty salon use. The site has 180 foot of frontage on Loop Road. Loop Road is 18 foot wide town maintained facility with a 60 foot right of way. It lacks curb and gutter for the most part, with the exception of the new Walgreens development. There is no traffic count information for Loop Road, and it is not classified in the 2010 Garner Transportation Plan as either a major or minor thoroughfare. If the site is redeveloped in the future, road improvements would apply, which would include curb, gutter, and sidewalks. Property is within the town limits and has access to public water and sewer. It is mostly flat. There's no floodplains on site, and it typically drains to the east. According to the 2006 Comprehensive Growth Plan, the site is identified as a regional center. The regional center is designated as for a regional population. Land uses are primarily non-residential, which incorporates large areas of retail and large office buildings. In the 2018 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan, the future land use map, the site and the tracts along Loop Road in this area are identified as office center on the east side and then neighborhood commerce center on the west side. The office center land use category includes, you know, non-governmental tenants occupying a single building or adjacent spaces and separate buildings accessed by multiple driveways. Examples may include professional or medical offices. The requested zoning change from R20 to neighborhood office is consistent with the recommendations of the Comprehensive Growth Plan and with the prevailing zoning and land use pattern in the area along Loop Road and Jurgen Road. The Planning Commission, based upon the previously stated analysis and findings in this request, consistent with the recommendations of town's Comprehensive Growth Plan for this area, the Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend approval of the rezoning. And please refer to the worksheets beginning on page 85 of your packet for motion to approve or deny the Z1801 Tracy Evans General Use Rezoning.
Any questions?
Yes. Do I understand correctly that the building that we're talking about is not occupied at the present time, is it?
It is. It's a single-family residential.
I mean, I rode by the place today. They've got a big storage facility out front there. Okay. But at any rate, so maybe that's the owner back there. Looks like the house next to it is not occupied. But the idea is to incorporate the hair place, that's not the name of it, into the house. Is that some of the – okay. Looked like a pretty major renovation going on there.
Yes, sir. We've been taking out sheetrock and repairing some termite damage and a lot of stuff that just needed to be done to bring it up to date. Older property that had not had any remodeling at all. And, yeah, so a lot of stuff going on there.
Give us your name and address. Your name and address.
My name is Tracy Evans, 1201 A. Aversboro Road, Garner.
Thank you.
So the intent is to occupy the dwelling and to operate the business out of the dwelling, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anyone?
Looks like, well, that's okay, yeah.
Anyone else? Thank you, Doug. I'm ready for motion.
I move that the council fund the following regarding rezoning application Z1801, that it complies with the town's comprehensive growth plan, and that the zoning application Z1801 is reasonable and in the public interest because it will likely allow appropriate types of businesses at described locations, which provide opportunities to access to goods or services useful to the surrounding area, and will enhance the town's economic development. Therefore, I move that the council accept the recommendation of the Planning Commission and staff and adopt ordinance number 2018-3914, approving rezoning request Z1801.
Good job.
Thank you.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Okay, manager reports. Roger.
Mr. Mayor, town council, you have in front of you the Garner Info Report. In yellow, as you look through that, you can see with the weather getting warmer, there's a number of vegetation-related complaints and some other items. So if you have any questions about that, let us know. I'm going to pass down a update on the rec center and what the current status is on that. Mr. Hodges, Mr. Chalk attended a update meeting, construction meeting last week.
And they have given us, you know, updated the actual due date for the construction. And it's still determined as completion September 25th. You know, that date hasn't changed, but that is a very tight schedule. And hopefully, you know, they'll make it without any unforeseen delays. But if there are some other things that could extend that date, but right now this is the best estimate they have on when the substantial completion will be done. Some of the significant accomplishments over the last 30 days is they completed some of the load-bearing walls and some of the finishes with the structural steel. Electrical and plumbing roughings have gone in the gym area and started in the admin area. They're moving utilities on the outside of the building. They're doing some sanitary sewer and domestic water connections and started painting in the gym. And then some of the work for the next 30 days is to start the curb and gutter on the Highway 70 section and complete some grading, complete some of the standing seam metal roof, some metal framing on the inside, install the storefront glass on the gym at the front, and then start the ceramic tile in some of the bathrooms and also some curb and gutter as a companion project. We're building the parking lot at the GPAC, right next to the GPAC for overflow parking, and they hope to start the some curb and gutter on that within the next 30 days. They've been hampered by rain on that site, but they hope to get that going as the weather breaks. As a follow-up, we canceled the last tour that we had scheduled due to the rain and the muddy conditions, and so now we have another date, Wednesday, June the 20th. At 10 o'clock scheduled, so would like for you to join us if your schedule allows. If not, just let us know, and we'll try to come up with an alternate date to meet the individual schedules. But as a group, we plan to go out there on June 20th. Any questions?
I have a question. I was under the impression that August was the projected completion date. Was I incorrect, or is this something new, September?
No, September, the end of September was the last update we gave a month ago, about a month ago. So this is pretty consistent with that. I mean, September, the end of September was the last update we had.
I have an observation as well. My husband and I were walking on Main Street on Saturday, and we noticed that there was some glass had been installed, glass panels had been installed on the upper level. But also noticed some of the glass panels were being stored over the weekend, leaning up against the chain link fence that was very close to the sidewalk and to Main Street. That doesn't seem like a really wise place to store glass panels over the weekend. They could easily be broken or stolen. So I don't think anything like that happened, but that's something we might want to bring to their attention, that storing those in such a prominent and easy to reach location is not a good idea.
Okay, we could pass that along. Other thing I have for you is we typically have a volunteer advisory board dinner. That's been more toward the fall, but we're looking to have that earlier this year. And so the date we're looking at is actually July the 19th, which is a Thursday. So we wanted to see, you know, if that would meet your schedule, and you can get with the clerk later on and let her know, Ms. Gibson, if that's going to fit your schedule. But that's just the better timing as far as our schedules are concerned, and just want to try to do that sooner. One reason we want to do it sooner because it's closer to when some of the members are rolling off their committees, and when we had it in the fall, they had already been off some of the boards for quite a while, so we want to recognize them closer to when they actually finish their terms. So just have you take a look at that date. And that's all the reports that I have.
Mr. Attorney. Start with the council. Craig.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, thank you. The contract, the work that's done at GPAC, the additional lot, they're also going to create a new lot, and they're going to resurface all of the parking in front of the GPAC and some slightly to the right to the side for the old part of the housing now, correct? Right?
Correct.
All that's going to be resurfaced, and it's going to be restriped, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. I have sent an email that concerning striping the rest of that, not tied to this contract, because it was different, so you'll point it out to me, and striping the Avery Street complex and also the rest of the annex behind us, because this new parking lot will connect on the backside, and the striping on the backside is poor, and Avery Street is very poor. Pointed out to me by my 16-year-old son, who doesn't have his license yet, but has his permit, and asked me one time, how am I supposed to see where to park when I can't see the lines? And I said, that's a very good point. That's what brought all of it up. So I was just making sure that I would move, that there's something moving forward on that sometime.
Yeah, can you verify that, John, whether we're looking at that additional striping?
And I believe that Mr. Chalk was recommending that we add that to a separate contract that we were doing ourselves rather than trying to amend the rec center one. But, yes, it is still on our radar. We're just handling it in a different manner.
It was right in the same contract we're planning to use to strike 914.
I'm just going to mention that. Yes, I know that one is also on the list to be handled in a similar manner. I don't know for certain which contract, but yes.
Okay. All right. And also, I'd ask a man, I don't know if I sent it to y'all, I just sent it to Mr. Chalk and Mr. Jones of Public Works. When Lakeside gets resurfaced between Avis 4 and 50, there is some striping there. Dave's made some people turn in, double yellow line and a stop bar. And needs to make sure that when the resurfacing is done, that's put back. But we also need to go on the other side of Lakeside and restripe that area because that is very worn. We put that in years ago. Probably recommended by a consultant when we put the flashing light there as a speed deterrent. And also because there were issues with people driving all over the road because Lakeside narrows from being very wide to very narrow. Just want to make sure that that's going to be followed up with and get that section restriped. And there's a stop bar on both sides of Lakeside at Avisboro that we need to make sure it gets painted, restriped, painted. I'm glad to see that they still have the September 25th date at the rec center. We'll see. But anyway, I will mention also that tonight that the Parks and Rec had a meeting that had to be moved from Avery Street to the GPAC for Youth Basketball League for the summer. And Marcel indicated in emails it sent out this weekend, contact parents, because over 300 people, 300 youth have signed up to play basketball this summer, which is quite a bit more than in the past. So they had to meet at the GPAC instead of meeting at Red Avery Street. Different age groups started 6:30, then 7, and 7:30. So 300 kids signed up to play summer ball, so that's good. And they will be, the new lighting has been installed at Avery Street. I understand, I saw a picture of it. And just to follow up with staff, we also talked about, I believe they wanted to install new scoreboards there. I wonder if that's in line, if that's moving along.
Yeah, we saw an email correspondence that you had about that, and we actually were not aware that when we talked about it last time, we were under the impression that it was only lighting that we were supposed to be working on. So we can look into that, and we'd be happy to do that, and have gotten some estimates on it, but we're not, it was not moving forward on the same schedule as the lighting.
Well, that was mentioned at that meeting that we need lighting, we need to look at scoreboards. I talked over there with staff about it, and we need scoreboards on both ends. I mean, they need Avery Street, up and well maintained because we have a nice new rec center, but also Avery Street, we don't need to push it aside and forget about it. And I would hope we'd move forward. I mean, it'd be nice to have these scoreboards in the summer league. I don't know if that's going to happen. But, we had money left over because the rec center funding for operations was not spent, and that's what we ask those monies to be spent on. I mean, the council agreed unanimously, so I hope staff will move forward in getting new scoreboards installed at David Street also. And that's all I have right now. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Kathy. Yes, sir. Several things. I'm receiving more frequent complaints about the dip at the Don Rohrbaugh Bridge on Timber Drive East. And the latest complaint was that it seems to be getting worse. So can we have that looked into? Again, I know it's been supposedly repaired once, but it does seem to be getting worse.
We'll continue to report it to DOT. I think they are at a point where they feel like, nothing else is going to, they don't plan to do anything else to it as far as I know. They did install some bump warning signs prior to getting there, but we'll just relay the information on to DOT, and it'll be up to them. I think they recently did some analysis and figure out that it may be the road.
I think Mr. Chalk had been asked to take some
to take some measurements there over time, and I think he has done that, but I'm not sure if he's had any communications with DOT since he did that. So we'll follow up.
Okay.
I just have not asked him.
Thank you. Also, 300 West Garner Road needs to be, the yard needs to be mowed. There's a nice crop of yellow flowers or yellow weeds growing up there. And someone complained to me yesterday, I'm really not clear about exactly where, but they said there's a drainage problem on Loop Road and a pothole close by. But they didn't make it real clear where it was, whether it was on the south side or the north side. So if anybody has any more information to offer, that'd be great. But their particular complaint about a drainage problem and water standing when it rains hard. Okay. And I had the pleasure this afternoon of attending a lunch and learn for the Raleigh Realtors Association. They discussed accessory dwelling units. We've seen that in the news a lot in the past few months in Raleigh, trying to decide whether to allow them and how to allow them and so forth and so on. Looks like it's going to be something coming, but also it's going to be a while to get it regulated and decide how it's going to move forward. So we might want to keep an eye on that. It's one way to address the housing crisis. So at any rate, they have information, but it took a lot to absorb it all. And that's all I have.
Again, nothing other than to just thank the Budget Committee for the smooth process that we've gone through so far. Probably have a few more comments to make about that when we approve it, but I've been very pleased with the way it's structured and how it's come along and the presentation, the whole bit. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Okay. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we adjourn.
Second.
Sunday down.
Made second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
This must be a record.
We done well.
Thank you.